Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you excited tonight? Are you expectant tonight? It's a night of receiving. And one of the laws that governs the protocol of receiving in the kingdom is the law of expectation. If you don't have expectations, there's not much God can do for you. The Bible said the expectation of the righteous, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Tonight, if you have an expectation, can you lift your hands toward heaven and just whisper something to the Lord? Can you tell him something very beautiful? Emmanuel. Help me now, why? Emmanuel. Come on. Emmanuel. Of transformation, there is so much that depends on you because you need to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. But when it comes to a healing service, brother, you have nothing to do. You just lean at the wings of the eagles. It's time for God to walk. So it's a time for gratitude. It's a time of appreciation. Can somebody just go ahead and sing to the Lord? Open up to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you are set to do tonight in our midst. We come with hearts full of gratitude. We come with hearts full of expectations, because we know that your compassion faileth not. We are confident that tonight there will be a massive visitation. There will be massive transformations, and there will be great manifestations of your power. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are grateful for the things you will be doing tonight. We are yielded. We are open. We say, have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, give the Lord a big shout of praise. Somebody shout glory. Woohoo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'll be sharing the word of the Lord with us for just 15 minutes. Then we'll allow the Holy Ghost to go into action. You came here sick tonight. Be ready to say goodbye to sickness. You came here oppressed tonight. The end of oppression is come. Can I tell you something? It's not just going to be for those who are here tonight. There's what we call digital miracles. You will call those who are at home and they will be healed instantly, and they will be calling us back to give their testimonies from their houses by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh my God. I love it when God wants to do us good. You just open up and you allow Jesus flow through you. It's an amazing thing. It's a testament of the love of God. It's a revelation of the nature of God. His desire to bless us beyond all that we deserve. You know, if God were to give you what you deserve, wow. Wow. It would be a terrible day. But thanks be to God for His mercies. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us according to His mercy and His love. And that is why we receive the best. That is why we know we deserve the best. Because we don't receive what we earn. We receive what Jesus paid for. Someone is happy tonight. Can you give the Lord a bigger shout of praise? Woo-hoo! Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to show you some things very quickly before we begin the midday, the miracle session. You know, demons, I told you, are intelligent beings. The strength of demonic oppression is in your area of ignorance. Any area where you lack understanding is an area where devils have liberty. The moment knowledge and understanding comes to you, the devil is checked out instantly, because the devil knows that he has lost his authority of dominion over you. So he trades and he reigns in areas of ignorance. That's why the devil will not allow you pray, because he knows if you pray, the Holy Ghost will talk to you. That's why the devil will not allow you study the Word of God, because he knows when you study the Word of God, you will discover who you are in God. That's why the devil will not allow you go for the meetings where the revelation of God's Word will be unveiled, because he knows the day you discover, that day he loses to be the master over your life. But tonight, I'm going to be bringing you the Word of the Lord, and it's not going to deliver you just from sicknesses. It's going to deliver most of you from depression. It's going to deliver you from a sense of guilt, because the devil have kept you in a tight corner for too long. The devil have made you think that God is not happy with you. The devil has made you think that God is angry with you. The devil has made you think you are good for nothing, because every day he comes, he reminds you that time when you committed immorality. He reminds you that time when you lied. He reminds you that time when you stole. But brother, there is something the Holy Ghost reminds us about. It reminds us about the sacrifice of Jesus. It reminds us about the blood of the Lamb. It reminds us about the love of God. It reminds us about the mercies of God. Because your sin is not the only thing on the slate. There is something God put on the slate. There is the blood of Jesus on the slate. And the moment the blood of Jesus came on the slate, something happened. He said he blotted out every handwriting of ordinance against you. He blotted out every testimony of darkness against you. He blotted out every sin you ever committed. Why? Because the price was paid. You need to understand that God has done something. It is called the gospel. You need to understand that your crisis is not your only reality. There's a reality you have in God on the strength of what Jesus has done. That is the gospel. And I've come to share the gospel with you tonight, somebody. The gospel of Jesus. Romans 1:17. The Bible said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. When a man is in bondage, that man has not heard the gospel. If you are in crisis, you have not heard the gospel. You don't need to do anything to be delivered. All you need is to believe. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4. It said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? It said you began in the spirit. You want to be made manifest. You want to be made perfect in the flesh. Is it him that worketh miracles among you? Doeth it by the law or by the hearing of faith? If you can only believe, there will be a performance. The angel came to Mary. He said, I know you are a virgin. but you are going to be with child by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is not going to be a sexual intercourse. You don't need to know a man. It has never happened before, but it doesn't matter, because what will make the difference is the power of the Holy Ghost. How do you get there? Only believe. Can you believe tonight? Your captivity will be over. The systems of the world are designed to teach you how to live in fear. That's why they tell you the stories about the people that died of cancer. They tell you the stories about the thousands that died of hepatitis. They don't tell you the ones God healed. The systems of the world, they are designed to keep you in fear. They are designed to keep you in captivity. But if you turn to the Lord and you can see the light of the gospel, something will change forever in your life. Tonight, people will not just be healed, but people that came here sick will go with the healing anointing, and they will begin to heal others by the Spirit of God. Hey, you don't know what will happen. What I'm doing now, I'm putting. My soul is about to fly. I'm putting. Hey. And I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Who loves Jesus here? Just wave. Look at that. Is the devil not a loser already? Come on, look at the people that love Jesus. Look at that. Look at that. In your presence.
Worship from afar.
Coming near to where you are. I wanna be where you are. Dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. John chapter 10 verse 10. The Bible said the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal and to destroy. The manifesto of the devil was made bare. You know, Jesus needed to tell us the agenda of the devil. Because it's possible for you to be deceived and beguiled by the devil. You know, the Bible said the devil beguiled Eve. The voice of Satan is sweet. The strategy of the devil is slippery. It sustains the capacity to lure. It sustains the capacity to beguile. So Jesus needed in clear terms to tell you the agenda of darkness. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am. My visit to the earth is a contrast of everything the devil is doing. He said, I am come to give you life. And life in abundance. If you are not aware, you may fraternize with darkness, thinking there is a future. Have you been to that spot before, where the devil tries to debate with you, or bait something for another, and then you think what you are receiving, or what you are given, rather, is small compared to what you are receiving? The devil doesn't have a gift. Everything he has is called death. The Bible said in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10 verse 38, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, delivering all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. The devil will oppress you with sickness and still come to tell you that it's your fault. He will oppress you with sickness and still come to tell you there is no deliverance for you. He will want you to know that you will not be healed because of what you did yesterday. Jesus saw what you did. Did you remember that in scriptures, nobody was saved in the days of Jesus, because salvation was only possible by the Holy Spirit. But everybody Jesus healed were sinners. So the healing power of God is not obstructed by sin. The healing power of God is not reduced by sin, because Jesus healed the sinners. And did you see and study your Bible that Jesus never asked anybody why he was sick? He didn't care whether it was your ancestors that did something. He didn't care whether it was your sin that did something. All he was interested in was to do good, because the anointing upon his life came to do you good. So brothers and sisters, that story the devil is telling you just expired a moment ago, because your sin cannot stop you from the healing power of God. The reason you put away your sin is because you have understood the love of God. The reason you put away your sins is because you have become a reasonable Christian. You have seen the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you. So it is no longer reasonable for you to continue in sin. You want to taste of the love of God. So your sin is not a hindrance to your healing. You are the one thinking it's a hindrance, because the devil sold that idea to you. Can you tell somebody you are a candidate of divine health? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Did you notice that it was not the sick people that were running after him? The Bible said he went about. He went about. Jesus is more interested in healing you than you are interested in receiving healing. Because some of you think you need to do something to receive healing. Jesus doesn't care what you need to do. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about. The Madarine maniac, the Gadarene maniac, he was on another side of the sea, mad and locked in the tomb. Jesus finished a crusade. He was supposed to be tired that evening, but he did something. He had to cross over the river because there was a sick man on the other side of the tomb. He finished the crusade. He was tired. He was exhausted. He had every right to rest, but because of what was troubling him, he could not sleep because there was somebody sleeping in the grave. He had to go across the borders, and he healed the Gadarene maniac, and he turned back immediately. So the reason Jesus took the stress of crossing the sea was not because he wanted to visit the city. There was one man sick. Because of one man, God can travel from Lagos to Edo State. Because of one man's sickness, the Holy Spirit can leave Makurdi and come to Edo State. He passes by your city tonight. Are you going to receive? It's your choice. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Can you ask the Lord for healing tonight? All you need to do is to ask, brother. He said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. He didn't say repent and be healed. He said, ask and you shall receive. Is it important to repent? Yes, because God cannot walk with a sinner. But receiving the bounties and the goodness of God is not a function of repentance. That was why salvation did not come to you before you repented. Salvation came to you and you began to repent after you got saved. You now understood that you are walking with God now, so you cannot continue the old way. Are you listening to me, somebody? There is a free ticket of healing tonight for anybody who can believe, for anybody who will wish to receive. I want to share with you something this evening. I call it spiritual insurance. There is something God has put in stock for you perpetually to walk in dominion in this life. It's a spiritual insurance. When you work with a company, they have packages. There are packages for your healing. In a company, they will put what they call medical package, health package. If the secular system understands much, how much more your Heavenly Father? There are packages that God has put in place for your perpetual walk in freedom and in liberty. One of them is called the sacrifice on the cross. The cross. So long as the cross remains in eternity, there is an insurance for you. I want to tell you the implication of the cross. You know, most people carry the crucifix, they don't even know what it means. It has become a religious thing. The cross is beyond a religious show of a crucifix. The sign of the cross is not the cross. What is the implication of the cross? The first thing the cross stands for is that the cross is the great divide. The cross is the statement that God made that it was possible for life to begin from death. The cross is the journey from death to life. The cross is the point where God deals with the old creation so that the newness of the new creation can emanate. Anybody that have journeyed through the cross have no judgment on his shoulders anymore, because the judgment that God has on the sinner is on the cross. That is why if you don't accept Jesus, you will be judged. If you have accepted Jesus, every judgment that is meant for you is already on Jesus on the cross. Any man who has passed through the cross in the economy of the Father, he's already dead. So God cannot see his sins. God cannot see his iniquity. When God looks at the old man was crucified. The old man was dead. The person God looks at now is the new man that resurrected in Christ Jesus. And that man is perfect. It's called the cross. The cross is an insurance policy. That is the policy that deals with guilt. That is the policy that deals with depression. Yes, when you come out of the cross in the eyes of the Father, you are perfect. That's why you don't approach the Father in the name of Simon. You don't approach the Father in the name of Matthew. You approach the Father in the name of Jesus. Because anybody that comes out of the cross have one habitat. It's in Christ. That one is in Christ. That one is in Christ. Because he has journeyed through the cross. The cross is the divide between the old man and the new man. The cross is where the judgment and the anger of God was placed. You know, when you sin now, sometimes God will want to kill you because the wages of sin is death. But when you sin and God wants to kill you, that death, he has already put it on Jesus. Because God saw the sin you will see tomorrow. So all the anger he had in his mind, he has already killed you in Christ. It's called the cross. It's a technology that transcends time and space. You know, if the cross cannot deal with your future sin, you couldn't be born again. Because you and I died after Jesus resurrected. And the sins we sin, if we confess Jesus today, it is forgiven. By what technology is it forgiven? It's called the cross. Every time you fall and God wants to hit you, that punch he wants to give you, he gave it already 2,000 years ago. You are the one who is manifesting it now. But the Father has already afflicted you. The Father has already dealt with you. That's why he said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we were healed. He didn't say we are healed. He said we were healed. God knew you would be sick tomorrow. That is why he put the healing on the cross. God knew you would sin tomorrow. That is why he put the forgiveness on the cross. God knew you were going to fall tomorrow. That's why the forgiveness is on the cross. So every time Satan shows up and say, hey sinner, look at Satan and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He will say, but you sinned yesterday. You say, no. Satan, look at the cross of Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross. I was there with him. I was there. I was included. It's called the economy of the cross. It is your perpetual insurance. Your perpetual. Listen, I thought about consecration yesterday. I thought about priesthood yesterday. I know the place of kingdom responsibility. But I'm telling you what you need to know so that you can never be a slave of the devil. It's called the cross. Is it that you died with him? That you died. You don't have a life anymore. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He said, the life that I live now in the flesh, it is the life of the Son of God who died for me. It is called the journey of faith. Every time I walk with my shoulders high, because I know the accuser of the brethren can't come near. I understand that the cross paid the price. My mistakes, they hung on the cross. My accusation, they hung on the cross. My judgment, it hung on the cross. Will that give me a license to continue in sin? No, because I was not the one hanging on the cross. It was somebody else that died for my pain. It was somebody else that died for my sickness. So every time I want to live my life, I will live with an understanding that the sorrows that should come to me, somebody else bore it. So my life becomes a perpetual gratitude to Jesus. So the cross is not a license for sin. The cross is a revelation of gratitude. I sinned. They were supposed to shoot me. And then my brother shows up and say, I am Michael. And then they killed him. Everything I'm supposed to, he is supposed to do while he's alive, I will do it for him. That's why Paul say, be a reasonable Christian. You will not be forced, but it behoves you to be reasonable. He had a family, he had a life, but he died for you. What do? You become a reasonable Christian. So everything Jesus would have loved, everything Jesus would have done, I will do it in this life. So when you look at me, you see Jesus, because I'm living for Jesus. It's called the technology of the cross. The cross is where the power of Satan was taken away. You know, Satan is the god of this world, because when Adam fell, he gave him authority over this world. Satan became the ruler over this world. So everybody that is under disobedience, according to Ephesians 2 verse 2, is the son of Satan. But in the cross, something happened. We died. So we disappeared from the radar of Satan. When he looks for me, he will not find me anymore. You know why? Because I died. He can't find me. If somebody dies, what happens? He goes 6 feet below. You check him in the registers on the earth, you won't find him. He is deleted from the world. When I entered the cross with Jesus, I vanished from the radar of Satan. And every power Satan has over me, something happened. The Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in victory. Where was that done? On the cross. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. This is why we have assurance. We don't have assurance because we fast and pray. We have assurance because the price was paid by Jesus. The cross is the system of kingdom insurance. The cross. Every time I go to God to demand something, I don't come kneeling there and say, Lord, look at me, a humble sinner. No way. Thank you, Father, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you because the price was paid. I come boldly before the throne of grace. Paul said, come boldly. No. On the account of the cross, I have become the child of God. When God looks at me, he looks at Jesus, because I have no life anymore. I only appear in Christ. Imagine if you are going to ask your father for breakfast, and then you need and say, Daddy, please, can we have breakfast? You don't know what a child is. You don't understand the love of the father. If you know your father loves you, he will come on and say, come on, Dad, there's no food in this house. Why is there no food in this house? Mama, I need to eat because I'm hungry. Why? You have become a son. And as a son, you have legitimate right to the things of the kingdom. Healing is not something we beg for, we command it. He said, healing is the children's bread. We command it. See, when you see a preacher operating, he's not operating the way he's operating because he's a preacher. When I begin to minister to the sick here, I'm not going to come and say, Lord, please heal them. No way. I will look at you and say, be healed. You know why? I command it. When you understand it, if sickness comes to you, you say, Satan, where are you coming from? Come on, pain. Get out of my body. Pain, get out. Satan can't even cough around you because he knows you have understanding. You have understanding. The cross is where Jesus took the shame. In Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9, the Bible said he was God. But he didn't count it robbery to share his equality with God. He stripped himself of the garment of divinity. You don't know what the cross is. You don't know. When we talk about the sacrifice of the cross, many don't understand it. They don't understand it. The cross is where the greatest revelation of the love of God was displayed. You don't understand. Do you know what it means? Maybe they now call my brother here and say, there is a crisis in the pig kingdom. You need to become a pig. And then you go into the pig kingdom and you suffer the life of pigs. You will live in mud. You will eat feces. You will become a pig, and then you will die as a pig, so that every pig can be justified. And you know the problem? You will never be a man anymore. Even if you come in our midst, you will remain a pig forever. Right now in heaven, Jesus cannot appear as a God. In heaven, he is still a man. Why? He descended to the level of creation because he needed to deliver you. Do you know what it means if you look into an aquarium and they say, this fish need to deliver other fish? Or they tell you, son, become a fish, and then you enter the aquarium because you want to deliver the fishes. And then when the fish are delivered, you can never be a man anymore. You always remain a fish. It's the power of the cross. That's why it was sufficient to pay for your sins. Is it good to continue in sin? Paul said, God forbid. But we know we cannot be tied in bondage. When we look at what Jesus did, we break out with thanksgiving. It takes love to do that. It takes love. I'm sure of the love of God for my life. I'm sure about it. I don't need anybody to tell me God loves you. Because I understand the sacrifice on the cross, I have confidence in the love of God. That's why if I sin, I don't run away from God. I run to God. God gave David three options. Either to be slain by his enemies for 3 years, or to suffer plagues for 7 years, or to come to God and allow God to deal with him. He said, God, you better deal with him, because in God there is plenteous redemption. When you sin, you don't run away from God, you run to God. That's where your hope is. Because on the cross, he demonstrated the highest level of love. The cross is the greatest mystery of all existence. There are four absolutes that you can never contradict. Two of them, particularly because of what I'm teaching, is justice and mercy. What mercy demands is that whatever the case is, just let go. But what justice demands is that the penalty for every offense must be paid. So if God wants to display mercy, it will be at the expense of justice. If God wants to display justice, it will be at the expense of mercy. But because his nature is a just nature and at the same time a merciful nature, he cannot choose one against the other. On the cross, God was able through divine intelligence to demonstrate both justice and mercy at the same time. The price of sin was completely paid for, and the penalty of death was levied. And then the mercy of God was completely paid for, because every sinner was exonerated. How was that possible? It's the mystery of the cross. Because God himself took the penalty so that you who is a sinner can be let go. So mercy was demonstrated in the highest feat, and then justice was demonstrated in the highest feat. It's called the mystery of the cross. That's why on the cross every principality was disarmed. That was where the devil was shamed. Because the devil sinned in heaven, there was no way he could be redeemed. So when the devil deceived man and man fell, the devil thought man too was doomed. You don't know what happened in heaven before you were created. There was actually a boast. Oh, let me tell you a quick story in eternity past. What gave God pleasure in eternity past was Lucifer. Lucifer was the reflection of the greatest beauties in all of the creation of God. If God wanted to derive pleasure, what he needed to do was Lucifer to come on the display. Oh, you need to study about the credentials of Lucifer. I did a teaching on the 7 credentials of Lucifer to teach you the dangers of pride. I did a teaching. You need to know who Lucifer was. Oish. The Bible called him the son of the morning. The Bible called him thou that sealed the sun. What it means is that Lucifer was brighter than the sun in glory. If Lucifer shows up like this, you don't need the sun. The sun will go dim. That was the glory that the being carried. It was a reflector of light in the heights of the heavens. Lucifer was the one that conducted the worship in heaven. The Bible said, from the day of thy creation, thy types and thy tablets were in thee. So if God needs to be happy, Lucifer just needs to show up. He will do like this. Heaven will be full of joy. He understood the mood of God. He could create the mood of heaven. Every time anything needs to happen in heaven, sound is the one that conducts it. And Lucifer was the governor of sounds. He was called the anointed cherub. That means he was the only one that God was smeared upon. So he could relate with God intimately. He knew the mind of God. He was called the merchandise of beauty and wisdom. Full of glory. But when pride entered, he fell from glory. He fell. Even God himself lamented. He said, oh Lucifer, how art thou fallen? Oh, do you know when a creator begins to wane? A creator is one that can just say, come and speak and something else will happen. But when Lucifer fell, that was a big loss. Oh Lucifer, how art thou fallen? So God now decided, because Lucifer feels he was proud, God now decided to create another being to replace him. That being will become his object of love. And this time around, The glory of the being God wanted to create will not be in the outside. It will be on the inside. Because Lucifer was covered with 10 precious stones. The Bible said he was clothed with diamond. He was clothed with sapphire. He was clothed with topaz. He was clothed with carbuncle. He was clothed with 10 precious stones. So when he shows up, you see beauty and glory. So God said, no. I will create another being that will be better than you. And this one, I will not use stones to decorate him. I will use my spirit to decorate him. But he will be on his inside. That was when God embarked on the creation of man. So man became the pride of God. Man became the revelation of God's intelligence. Man became the reflection of God's architectural masterpiece. And man became the thing that gave God pleasure. Did you remember the first time Jesus showed up? That was the first time the perfect man appeared on heaven, on earth. And God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The first time God was pleased in creation after the fall of Lucifer was when Jesus showed up. The reason is because Adam would have been the man that God was well pleased in, but Lucifer truncated the process. He caused that man to fall so that the man would be doomed like him. But God came back in Jesus Christ and restored the human race so that he will still be pleased in man. That possibility only exists in the cross. Lucifer knew you were his replacement. Everything he stood for, the glories of Lucifer, the beauty of Lucifer, everything God gave you 1,000 times more. So Lucifer will fight you from shining. He will fight you from walking in glory. Did you notice the Bible said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? You were created for glory because you were the replacement of Lucifer. That's why in your system there are sounds. Do you notice? Let me not go there. I will get lost. Lucifer knew that you were the beauty of creation. So he wanted to destroy you. But on the cross, every attempt of Lucifer was futile. The Bible said that the princes of this world had known. Because when Jesus showed up, the guy knew the day the Son of God appears, that day his dominion will end. So he went and looked at him. He began to fight him. He said, are you the Son of God? Because everybody that shows up, he strikes. When Noah showed up, he struck him. Abraham showed up, taka. Moses showed up, taka. Anybody that comes to a point to demonstrate a feat as if he was the Son of God, he will fight until Jesus showed up. For Moses, he caught up with him in anger. And he found something for everybody. For Samson, he caught up with him in immorality. But when Jesus came, he came and he didn't find anything. He said, the prince of this world come unto me and find nothing. And that was why Jesus paid the price. For you and I to become the glory of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he said, man is the glory of God. The revelation of God's essence is called man. But all of that possibility is on the cross. The next time the devil comes to deceive you, tell the devil, can you check the document about the cross? When you finish reading it and understand, come back. It's obvious you don't understand the chapter in which the mystery of the cross was written. Go and study it. When you understand what it means, come back. Because this man you are talking to understands the cross. It is called the system of spiritual insurance. The second infrastructure we have for our insurance is called the blood. I want to come down to share these things with you so that it will echo your mind for a long time. Even if you don't know the doctrine, let it be in your mind. That because of the cross, you can't be condemned. In Romans chapter 8 verse 1, it says, for now there's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the law of the flesh, but after the law of the spirit. When you understand it and your life is controlled by it, you are invincible. The devil can't fight you. That's why the Bible said, concerning the believer, it says, as the wind bloweth, and thou listest not from where it cometh or where it goeth. It said, so are they that are born of the Spirit of God. Your life is a proof that there is life after death. That's why we are confident about immortality. You are a proof that there is life after death because you were born from the cross. Next time they ask you about your genealogy, don't go back to your great grandfather, go to the cross. Some people will come and tell you, you say, your ancestors buried 10 virgins, and because of the virgins they buried, everybody in your lineage is cursed. Not me. I didn't come from that lineage. My genealogy is God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Abraham, and me. God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Abraham, Jesus, and because Jesus is the seed of Abraham and all of us emanate from him. It's the system of the cross. That's why I can't be cursed. I don't care all those, their doctrine. They will go and explain it. They will talk about spiritual pattern. That's why a lot of people cannot be healed. You don't know the price Jesus paid. That thing affects even your flesh. He said we are now one flesh, one blood and one bone. It is the system of the cross. I can't be condemned. This is organic reality. Do Christians still commit sin? Do they still fall? Do they still make mistakes? Yes. Because all of us are a work in progress. But sin will no longer have dominion over us. Every time the devil gets us, we rise again. And we call God for mercy. And we receive grace to move forward. Because the righteous man falleth seven times. And seven times he rises again. We will never lie down and make sin a practice or a lifestyle. It's the system of the cross. We understand that we are delivered. The second infrastructure is called the blood. The blood is the silencer of the accuser of the brethren. You know, the devil is a rebellious spirit. The devil knows you are called. He will come to you and say, are you sure you are called? Did you study about Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? Jesus, that was the direct incarnate of God. He will come and say, if you are the Son of God, what do you mean? Do you know who you are talking to? If you are the Son of God, you know I'm the Son of God. Why are you asking? So the devil will come and tell you, are you sure God is happy with you? Why would God be happy with me? Why wouldn't God be happy with me? He said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Everything about me is Christ. Why won't God be happy with me? The blood of Jesus is the silencer of the accuser of the brethren. But you need to have the revelation to walk in it. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. When you understand this revelation and you walk in it, and it impacts your life and it becomes your operating system. You know, I see a lot of people come and say, I sprinkle the blood. You are not the one to sprinkle the blood, Oga. Where is the blood you are sprinkling? They make religion out of hallowed things. You don't sprinkle the blood. It's only the high priest that have access to the blood. And it's the high priest that sprinkles the blood. And Jesus is our high priest. So it's Jesus that sprinkles the blood for you. If you want to sprinkle the blood, you are dead. You know why? Between the time you fell and the time you are sprinkling the blood, what will happen to you? It's when the attack came that you are sprinkling the blood. You would have been buried by that time if the blood was not sprinkled. Yes, I sprinkle the blood of Jesus. I sprinkle the blood of Jesus. No, 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 no. When the devil attacks, stand up and say, the blood speaks on my behalf. Hey. For the blood is speaking. Because the high priest, when he ascended from the grave, Mary Magdalene came to touch me, saying, no, touch me not. I have not appeared before the Father. And when he appeared, the Bible said, he entered the Holy of Holies in the heights of the heavens, and he sprinkled the blood on your account. So the blood is speaking for you perpetually. So I don't need to say I sprinkle the blood before the magic happens. When I show up, I know the blood is already being sprinkled. Because if I walk in the light, if I walk in the revelation, if I walk in the understanding, then the blood is already working. Jesus is the administrator of the blood, and the blood is speaking for you now. See, it's because the blood is sprinkled, that's why you can ask God for forgiveness in the first place. Who told you you can be forgiven? There's no forgiveness in anybody. Forgiveness is only in Jesus. It's in Jesus that you and I have forgiveness. And it's because the blood is being sprinkled, that's why you have forgiveness. When you go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, you think it's your kneeling down that will pay for your immorality. Do you know what happened when you fornicated? Do you know the princes in darkness that you gave access to? You don't even understand what happens organically for sins to be forgiven. For sins to be forgiven, the Son of God had to die. He had to be put to shame. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was not wearing boxers, he was naked. That is God humiliated among men. So you think because you came and cried, Adela, have mercy, you are forgiven. You are a funny man. When we go to ask for forgiveness, we are doing that with assurance that the blood is speaking. The blood is the basis for your asking for forgiveness. And that's why in this kingdom, the Bible says there is nothing you can boast about. Everything you are, will ever be, and can ever be, is based on what Jesus did. There's no room for boasting. The man who is standing is not standing because he's strong. He's standing because the Holy Ghost is at work in him. The blood is what cleanses you from sin. If you are righteous, it's because the blood is speaking, not just because you have the nature of God. The blood is constantly being furnished in your direction. What the Bible calls forgiveness is not pardon. God doesn't know how to pardon. You can insult me and I say, okay, don't worry, I've pardoned you. God don't know how to do that. God doesn't pardon. I know some people are hearing it for the first time. Spirits don't pardon. If the offense is there, you must be punished. Because spirits are just. They are just beings. And they walk in the realm of the spirit, which is a legal system. There is nothing like pardon. The word used for as forgiveness in the New Testament is the word aphesis. In the Greek, it means to be blotted out. The reason God forgave you is because your sins was washed. So even God himself, when he checks, he won't see it. If God sees your sin, you'll be punished. If God looks at you and he sees your sin, you will be punished. The reason God forgives you is because when he checks you and scrutinizes you, he can't see your sin. The blood will wash it off. That's why he said your sins were blotted out. If there's no economy of the blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. The Bible said without the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. If your sins are not washed off, God can't pardon you. So the reason we ask for forgiveness in the first place is because the blood is speaking. The thing was washed off. And there is a technology in God that is so strange. You know, God dwells in eternity. Eternity means, it doesn't really mean beyond time. It means outside of time. So God can still enter your yesterday and be relating with you as if yesterday is today. He can enter into your future now that you are here. And God will interact with you in the future and go back to heaven. When you arrive at the future, then you start talking to God. You say, I have an encounter. No, that encounter was there since the foundation of the world. It's the dynamics of spirit life. See, the encounter you will have tomorrow is already in tomorrow. Because God doesn't work by time. And the same way, when God forgave you your sins, he entered your yesterday and deleted it. He entered your day before yesterday and deleted it. So you yourself, if you go back to yesterday, you will not find your sin. It's not there. It's the technology of the blood. It blots out your sins. That's why God can forgive you. Because the sin is no longer there. And that is why every time we look at Jesus, we say thank you. There's nothing we can tell him but thank you. Because we did nothing. We don't deserve it. It's mercy. Wanna be where you are. Your presence. That's why the presence of God is the only place to be. That's the only place to be and have meaning.
Draw me near to where you are.
I just wanna be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. Take me through the place where you are. I just want to be with you. See, if you understand the gospel right, you become very, very reasonable. And you become very, very grateful. Do you know why sometimes we are arrogant around God? We don't have understanding of what he did for us. The same way the blood spoke for your sins yesterday and day before yesterday, the blood is already speaking about your sins in the future. So when you enter the future, you enter with gratitude. You say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So you knew I will mess up and you are still using me. Do you know as we are moving in the anointing now, we may sin tomorrow.
God knows that we will see tomorrow. There are some prophets that minister powerfully in the anointing. 1 month later, 2 months later, they fell into fornication. When they were moving the anointing, God was already aware they would fall into fornication. How did God still allow them to move in power? It's the mystery of the blood. Because the blood is already there. That time you are asking for forgiveness, the blood is already there. That's why we are so grateful. When people begin to grow in God, right? When you come to look, hear their prayers, they don't have many things to say. Sometimes a man kneels down for 4 hours and he says, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Sometimes he lays down and he says, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Why can you use a man like me? Have mercy." That man has grown. But when you see a young believer, he will stand and say, "Him that dwells in the right hand of Zion. Him that moved by the powers of the consolation. He that has a talking grammar, he thinks his grammar. But the elders, they have seen the sacrifice. They understand the weight of the sacrifice. So when they show up, they say, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. The blood is the last card. You are justified because of the blood. Never allow the devil come to put you in bondage anymore. The reason you will not sin is not because you now discover you are forgiven, so you do what you want. The reason you will not sin is because the love of God constrains you. Now you have known the love of God. The love of God constrains you. Listen, some preachers come and say, if you tell people this kind of thing, they will continue in sin. It's a lie. They gave them over 600 laws in the Old Testament. They were even killing some. They were stoning people to death. People were still sinning. Fear does not stop you from sinning. Fear will only torment you. The Bible says fear bringeth torment. What will set you free from sin is the love of God. Paul said the love of God constraineth us. It constrains us. Because we understand. We understand. We understand that there was one that has borne our sins. The reason most Christians are not grateful is because they don't understand the depth of the work of Jesus. If a man shows you mercy, you can never offend him. Even in the natural, you understand better. You don't have school fees. They were driving you from school and somebody pays your school fees. Forever, you'll be indebted. It's called the love of God. And it's the mystery of the blood. That's what silences Satan. If Satan knows that you understand that the blood is speaking for you, he will not come troubling you with depression anymore. I don't know what will happen to me to be depressed. I can never be depressed. I can never. And I'm telling you, I've seen terrible things. I have seen terrible things. I can never be depressed. I was in 300 level in 2009 when my mom died. I woke up in the morning. They told me my heart broke apart. But I got up. I said, "Thank you, Lord. You know better. This is not what I desire. But I know at the end you have a better answer." And I went and wrote my exam that day. Some years ago, my elder brother died. I had an impartation service the next day. I went to the impartation service. I was crying, but I was ministering. The power of God. I can't be depressed. I was serving in Warri in 2013. The day I entered that book, I was in Kano first, but I had to go to Warri. So many stories. The day I entered, I was going to Warri in Agbo. Armed robbers robbed people just before our car came. Oh, and I was like, I've entered the jungle. I entered that day to get my place of primary assignment. And while I moved around, I didn't get a place that day. I had to return to Asaba. I checked my pocket. There was 20 naira. I had exhausted all my money. Wow. I began to speak in tongues. I carried my phone to call my friend. Battery, bum, 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 battery, phone went off. And I just saw a robbery. And I don't have any place to stay in Warri. I began to speak in tongues and headed towards the ATM. "God, you will either answer today or me and you will die." Takapasotaya. Retatash. Bariata. Etataya. If what they say about speaking in tongues is true, it will prove itself today. Because if this tongue cannot deliver me, I will not speak it when I see a demon. Shatata. Barakata. I enter the ATM. I slaughtered my ATM and I withdrew 5,000. Meanwhile, there was no Kobo there. Yadada. Ela Katea. Oh, if you don't learn these things, you will try to understand it in the day of trouble, but that day there will be anxiety. That's why it's better to learn it where you are at peace. The day trouble comes, you are already a master. You are not going doing trial and error. You are a master. Many people pray in tongues when their wives are in the labor room. No, no, no. You had 9 months of prayer. When things don't happen, they now come and say, "Oh God, why? Oh God, why?" You are a foolish man. The Bible said the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to enter the city. There is a technology of apprehending things in God. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 15. And it doesn't stop there. In verse 16 and 17, he said, "Woe unto the land whose king is a child and whose princes eat for pleasure." He said, "But blessed is the land whose king is the son of the noble and whose princes eat for strength and not for drunkenness." When you come into understanding, you take responsibilities. We don't live our life by chance. We take responsibility. When I knew that scripture, I don't eat breakfast. I pray in tongues and I say no. Even if I'm wrong, I will apply this one literally. You take responsibility for your life and for everybody around you. Woe unto the land whose king is a child. Many people are babes. That's why the devil torments them. You eat these things, you internalize them, you persuade yourself, you are convinced by it. The day trouble comes, you will stand and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" Bishop Oedipo was in a hotel and thieves came robbing, and then he came down with his nightgown and they say, "Hey, come on, what are you doing there?" And the people that had gone began to run, say, "Hey, fire, fire." That's the extent to which he understands it. That's the extent to which he understands it. They asked John Trilake, "How can you carry viruses in your hand that you are not affected?" He said, "My soul is exercised in eternal life." You trade with these things every day. They look very simple, but they are your insurance in life. You eat it every day. You hear it every day. You study it every day. Until, without thinking, it becomes a natural flow. People want to hear about patterns, about dimensions, about the angelic realm. But they don't apply that any day of their life. The basic things they apply, they don't want to hear it. It's too simple for them. That's why many are in trouble. Did you not notice these places where they teach redemptive reality that they see the greatest miracles? All the places where they talk about spiritual ranking and patterns and pathways. In a conference of 7 days, only one deaf ear will be open. But the guy who is talking about the love of God, the mercy of God, if he begins to move, cripples are standing up in their numbers. These are the things that make the difference in life. Hallelujah. The mystery of the blood is an insurance policy of heaven. And thirdly, it's called the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, higher than all the names, Alpha and Omega. There is no other name like him. The name of Jesus is higher than all the names. King of all peace, no other name like him. The name of Jesus is higher than all the names. Alpha and Omega, no other name like him. King of all peace, no other name like that. Name, that song will be our activator of the miracle power. Wait small, the window has not opened. The name of Jesus. Many people don't understand what the name of Jesus is, so they're in a vehicle and then the driver just brakes with full force. Jesus, 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 Jesus. They just profess their fear. They are calling Jesus, but what went up in the spiritual realm is fear. And it's a dark cloud. You know, the economy of language in the spirit is different from the natural. Even your thoughts make statements in the spiritual realm. What left you is fear. And the demons will know that, oh, this guy is afraid. Thank God. They know what to do. If you know the name of Jesus, you are a conqueror in life. You know, I'm trying to watch my time. You know, today, I'm not talking about transformations. I'm keeping it calm. So that you will know it's God that does these things. It's not the man. Most times when I share the gospel, I try to make people look away from the man to look at Jesus. You know, nowadays, there are many ways men of God package themselves. The guy enters the hall and is quiet. He just sits like this. He's connected to heaven. That time, his angels are talking to him. You will never come close to him. It doesn't relate with anybody in close proximity. Even if you are in the same house, you can't talk to man of God. But Jesus was crumping into the bush with his disciples. Yet, miracles were happening. There's a place for discipline. There's a place for order. But it should not become a show. It should not become a thing of pride. Because most of you here who are young ministers, very soon you'll begin to preach. Let it not enter your head that you are something. If not, you will turn people from Jesus to you. So you go for meetings. People are running to touch the shoe of the man, to talk. But the Holy Ghost has been crying every morning for them to come into his presence. They don't come. But the man of God show up. They want to touch the button of his shirt. If you will clamor around the Holy Ghost like that for 2 weeks, your life will change. If you will hunger to touch Jesus like that for 1 week, you will be a changed man. And we don't learn. You do that with all the big men of God you knew, your life is still where it is. And we don't learn. When you read the Bible, try to follow it carefully. People live with Apostle Paul. And Paul was telling them to pray in tongues and fan to flame what they have received. Now, if you have a vision of Paul, you will say you are a Colossus. You say, it's Paul that appeared to me. Paul. Meanwhile, the Timothy that lived with Paul every day, he said, make sure you fan to flame the gift of God that is in thee. He pointed Timothy to the precepts and the principles of the kingdom. Because he was not the thing happening. Jesus is the reigning king. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the seal of authority in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, names are not primarily for nomenclature. Names are signatures of authority. If you read the Old Testament, every time God demonstrated a feat of his power, that encounter is trapped in the name. Because names are carriers of the full essence of a spirit reality. When God showed up and met the needs of Adam, he called him the El Shaddai. So that his generations after him, if they can invoke the name of the El Shaddai, the same encounter that he had, they too will walk in it. That was why Abraham walked with the El Shaddai. Isaac walked with the El Shaddai. Jacob walked with the El Shaddai. Because the fullness of the reality of God as El Shaddai is trapped in the name. When you can apprehend the name of a spirit, you have the full authority of that spirit. They are encapsulators of the essence of spirit beings. That's why the children of Israel called God names. They wanted to trap and immortalize their encounters. So anyone that shows up after 50 years, if things go wrong, he will call upon the name of that God, and the dimensions of that God will manifest. When we call the name of Jesus is the fullness of all of the totality of the Godhead put together. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, he said he pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. So when you invoke the name of Jesus, you are invoking the powers of the Godhead. With the name of Jesus, you don't need to call El Shaddai. You don't need to call El Elyon. You don't need to call Jehovah Sabaoth. When you call Jesus, the fullness of God comes to manifestation. It is the seal of authority that we have in the heavens. That name was not available among men. Men had no authority to use that name. For men to use that name, Jesus had to become a man and pay the demands of justice of the Father. Before that name was available for men, in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 9, after Jesus did all that he did, the Bible said, and God exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, both in heaven, on earth, and in the world beneath, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. So what God added to the name of Jesus for man to use is Lord. So every time you invoke the name of Jesus, you become Lord over circumstances. When he was born, his name was called Jesus. But Lord was not part of Jesus when he was born. Lord became part of Jesus when the sacrifice was complete. So if you call the name of Jesus, you become Lord over principalities and powers. You become Lord over demons. You become Lord over sicknesses and diseases. It is the greatest seal of authority that we have on earth. So anytime you call that name, never call it in fear, because the name of Jesus is significant of lordship. Lordship. When you say Jesus, what you are doing is that you are proclaiming yourself to be above the circumstance. That's why when we see the sick, we say Jesus. When we see the demon possessed, we say Jesus. Because in Jesus, we proclaim lordship. And it was available to you on the strength of the sacrifice. These are insurance policies that God put in place for your victory in life. Doesn't this God care so much? God knew you were going to sin sometimes tomorrow, so he put the blood. God knew you were going to be condemned in eternity, so he put the cross. God knew you were going to have crises and challenges, so he put the name. What a loving Father. If you understand the love of God, your life will change. Higher than all the name, Alpha and Omega, no other name like him. The name of Jesus is higher than all the name. King of all kings, no other name like him. The last thing I want to share with us this evening is called the mercy of God. You see, these other things I have revealed, you need to know them and walk in them for them to work for you. But when we talk about the economy of mercy, it's when God go out of his way to reach out to you. You know, salvation, there was no covenant upon which salvation could be prosecuted. The reason God stepped out to provide grace and love was because of mercy. Mercy is what makes God to go out of his way to reach you. The covenants that you invoke and are put in place, they were there because God had mercy for you. The Bible said, as a father pitieth his son. As a father pitieth his son. That is what God sees towards you. So the times when you didn't know the revelation of the name of Jesus to invoke it, there was something working called mercy. The time when you didn't know about the love of God, there was something working, is called mercy. In Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22, the Bible said, for his mercy we are not consumed. Many times we don't know the resources to use, but there is something at work. The reason you went for that interview and you passed, favor spoke for you even though you didn't prepare for it, was because there is an economy called mercy. The mercy of God is superior to covenant, because covenants are born because of mercy. Mercy is the platform that covenant rests upon. If you know God is merciful towards you, every day of your life you'll be confident, and every day of your life you will be full of gratitude. Because even the places where we lack understanding, you know, the Bible said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Have you noticed there are many areas where you lack understanding, yet you are still alive? it is the mercy of God that speaks. It's the mercy of God. These are insurance policies. I don't have time anymore to expound on things. That's why I'm speeding up. But we are going to pray for the sick now. We are going to pray for the sick now. Can you lift your hands toward heaven and worship God?
The name of Jesus, higher than all the names. Alpha and Omega. No other name like you. The name of Jesus, higher than all the names. King of all kings.
The name of Jesus.
Shapapayataya.
And you go ahead and exalt his name. Give him praise for what he will do tonight.
The name of Jesus. I am the Lord.
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. I am the name. The one of men. No other name like you.
The name of Jesus.
I am the name. I am the name.
Worship him tonight. Exalt his name. Give him praise.
No other name like you.
Kidney infections, liver infections, hepatitis, kidney stone, every kind of organ infection, heart infections, lung infections. Right now, you devil of darkness, I charge you out of them. Every bone infection, dislocations, bone disorders, hear the word of the Lord, I charge you. Lose your grip over them in the name of Jesus. Every irregular growth in your body, lumps in the breast, growth in the armpit, growth on every part of the body that is irregular, in the name of Jesus, I command you dissolve. Let every form of chain, mental chains that cause retardation in understanding, that cause lukewarmness, backwardness, depression. You devil, what are you waiting for? Out in the name of Jesus. Come on. We are going to dance now. And as we begin to dance, you will discover something strange has happened. People with ear issues will discover it's opening. Growths will be vanishing. Eye infections. You are using glasses, remove it and check. You will be amazed. Where is the lead?
Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. It's the sound of victory.
Sound of victory.
Hallelujah. Hey.
Hallelujah. Hey.
Hallelujah. Oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Let the sound be.
God, but shame on Satan. You have somebody, a relative who is sick. You have the picture lifted now. You can call the person, call now. We are about to send the healing power of God to your houses. Everybody connected to a sick person here. Everybody connected to a sick person. I come by the rod of a higher priesthood and I command the sickness, bow to the name of Jesus. Bow to the name of Jesus. Ulcers, cancers, bone infection, liver infection, kidney infection, lung infection, blinding devils, deafening spirits, I command you, bow to the name of Jesus. Bow to the name of Jesus. Let there be healing right now. Everybody you are connected to right now, the power of God goes. The power of God goes to heal and to deliver. Right now. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and call your relatives and find out. Come on, give me some.
Hallelujah. Eh. Hallelujah. Oh. Eh. Hallelujah. Eh. It's the sound of victory. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, let the sound of rejoicing fill. Hallelujah. Hey,
hallelujah. Hey,
hallelujah. Oh,
hallelujah. Oh,
hallelujah.
Hey, hallelujah.
It's the sound of victory.
Hey,
hallelujah. Hey.
Hallelujah, oh,
that's the sound.
Let the sound of rejoicing fill this house.
Listen, we don't have time. In the next 2 minutes as we sing, you've checked your body, something has happened, pain has departed, you can see where something has happened. Just come to the front very quickly. We'll take just 2 testimonies and then we'll flow because we have other activities.
Let the sound sing, let the sound of rejoicing fill. Hey, he has made a way,
he has made a way,
where there is no
way.
Hallelujah, hey,
hey,
it's the sound of healing.
Hallelujah,
hey, hallelujah,
hey,
let the sound
sing.
Hallelujah,
hey.
It's the sound of healing.
Hallelujah,
hey. Hallelujah,
oh.
Let the sound, yes.
Listen, check your bodies. You don't receive your healing by standing. Check your healing. Growths in the body have vanished. Sicknesses have left. Check your body. You discover you are healed. Come to the front now. Let's take testimony and give all the glory to Jesus. He's the healer tonight. Come on.
Hey, think you are God? Hey, you are not just ego. You are not just God. Oh, hey, you are the sick thing, you are God.
You are God.
You are not just ego.
You are not just ego.
You are not just God.
You are not just God.
You are a great God.
You are a great God.
Yeah, you are God.
You are God.
You are not just ego.
You are not just ego.
You are not just God.
You are not just God.
You are a great God.
You are a great God.
Who is on the mic? Let's hear what God has done for us. Somebody, can a pastor just come and help us quick so that we don't take time? We don't want long story. I was blind, I can see. So let the pastor come and some time.
Praise the Lord. Yesterday when the man of God was preaching, the first thing he said when he came down, we should just pray to God, ask God for something. And what was in my mind was like, my mother, that was the first thing that came to my mind. She has been sick for 3 years. For 3 years. And I prayed yesterday. I cried unto God that, God, please, just heal her for me. And yesterday, after the service in the evening, she just called me. And I think I was not able to preach the God during the service. And I called her back. She was like, okay, I just said I should greet you. I'm fine now. I can walk now.
You are God.
You are just ego. You are not just God.
You are a great God.
You are a great God.
You are
God.
You are not just ego.
You see, I have pain in your body. What is he waiting for? I command every pain. I command every devil spirit. I command every blinding demon. I command every growth in the breast, in the belly, in the leg, out in the name of Jesus. We call that digital miracle. People at home getting healed. Your mom couldn't walk. You said your mom couldn't walk. She had been sick and she couldn't walk.
She can walk, but she can't walk very well. She can't do anything.
And now she's strong.
Yes,
she's hale and hearty.
Yes. She even went to the hospital. She went to the hospital.
Sorry?
She went to the hospital.
Let's hear her.
She went to the hospital at first before. The doctor couldn't find what was wrong with her. They don't have any name to give what was
it's
wrong
a
with
demon.
Her.
The name is called the demon of infirmity. A demon of infirmity. Come on, give the Lord a big shout of praise. What happened? What happened? Give her the mic. Wait. She says she's not done yet. Can we hear you, please?
I want to thank God for my life because I have an abnormal growth at my chest. Like the middle of my chest, like there's this pain. It comes. It was not there before, but all of a sudden it comes. I will pray it will go. I will use another thing and it will go. Later it will come again. I'm like, God, what
has Jesus done now?
And I prayed, our God, if truly you are God, if truly, truly you know you are God, this thing must go. It must go. And I thank God it has gone. I don't feel it here anymore.
Hey.
And I know it has
gone. She had a pain in the chest caused by an abnormal growth. The pain is gone. The pain is gone. We go to hell. Hail your name. Hail my name. If he likes, let him frustrate the sound. We are having a ride in glory. What happened, sister?
God, but I just want to thank him. My father has been diabetic for 6 years.
Her father has been diabetic for 6 years. What happened, sister?
His blood sugar has been regulated since yesterday. There has no issue.
Since yesterday, the blood sugar has restored to normal. Kabiosi. We call that digital miracle. Are you done or you have another one? She's trying to catch her breath. Come on, somebody say, Jesus, we are juggling. We are juggling. We have not started running. We are just juggling. Tell us, sister, what happened?
He also has issues with high BP.
I didn't hear that.
He has issues with high blood
pressure. He also has issues with high BP.
So when he said there will be a healing service, I called him when I was coming.
You called him because we said it was a healing service.
When I was
coming, I told you about the law of expectation. What happened?
So I had enough. I supposedly recharged because of this service. And I kept him on call throughout the service. And when he said we should call, I called and they checked his blood, pressure.
Wait, you just went out now and called.
They checked his blood pressure immediately and it was normal for the first time in 2 years.
Listen, she just went out now and called her father, and high BP went down for the first time in 2 years. Who did this? Jesus. sister?
From yesterday, I was having a wrist pain, and it came. It kept on going and coming. So today, when you said we should, you were talking about praying about our pains and dislocations. I first felt like there's nothing wrong with me; it's just normal. So the pain came again, and I prayed about it. And when you told us to dance, I tried checking,
and the worst pain
was no longer.
It's gone. The worst pain is what? It's gone. Give me a song now. Why are you not inspiring? Listen. Let me show you. Let me teach you a secret. The Bible said the testimony of the righteous is just, making wise the simple. When one is giving testimony, what happens is that the faith of another is growing. And while the testimony is going, you can be receiving your own. So don't just shout. Come on. Tell Jesus, give me my own now. Ta 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 ta. What happened, sister?
I've been sick for 2.5 weeks. First time they said it was food poisoning. Later I went for checkup, they said it's infection. But they did not tell me what type of infection.
They said it was food poisoning. Later, they now said infection. So what happened?
So I've been taking antibiotics. Yeah, it was not working. I could not stand like this.
You couldn't stand like this for 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. Who did this?
Jesus.
Yo. Couldn't stand for 2 weeks. They said food poisoning. They said infection. She has been taking antibiotics. It wasn't working. But all of a sudden, something happened. Strength came and the pain left. And she could stand. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. What happened, sister?
All to bless the name of the Lord concerning my health. I've had this issue for like a year plus. Whenever I'm stressed out, I have sores all over my mouth. I've gone through a series of investigations and all of that. It proved nothing. I've taken a series of medications.
For how long now?
A year plus.
For 1 year plus, sores on the mouth.
Yes, and I can't even, to the extent of going for retroviral tests, everything was negative. Doctor could not tell me what was wrong with me.
So what happened?
I can't smile. I can't laugh when it comes.
You couldn't laugh or smile.
My presence is like I'm down shouting.
Come on. Listen, you didn't hear her testimony. Sores on the mouth that was so severe she couldn't smile. But all of a sudden, everything is gone. She can't just smile. She's shouting. Come on.
Anurue God.
Jehovah Obadu. The all sufficient God. I go nure God.
The all sufficient. The all sufficient. I go nure. Hey.
What happened, sister?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise Master Jesus. From on Sunday morning, I was feeling pain at
pain on the right side of your stomach.
Yes, so I was
from
so,
Sunday morning.
Yes, I was so scared. I was like, let's not be appendix, because my mom just did appendix operation. My elder sister did appendix operation. My nephew did appendix operation.
So Satan has been plaguing your family with
I
appendix.
I was so scared. But Pastor Vichy told me yesterday that I should just keen to the prophecy of the man of God, that I should just have faith and my healing is going to come. I could not go sleep for some nights, but I thank God that today I can jump, I can scream.
Did you hear what she just said?
And I'm just
her mom, listen, her mom, appendicitis, her sister, appendicitis, and who else? Nephew, appendicitis. The same pain came, she couldn't sleep, but something just happened. The pain is gone. Somebody say, Jesus the healer.
Jesus the healer.
What happened, brother?
Praise God. There is this childhood problem I've been having.
Childhood problem?
Yes.
How old are you now? You are 19 years old. And you had a problem from childhood. What's the problem?
The problem was a naval problem.
Yes. Help us.
That it happened to me to the extent that sometimes I can't even use my mouth. Because it was trying to turn into an imbecile something. Then, to the extent that I started growing, because of that, it always affected my mouth.
You started growing what?
It started affecting my mouth.
Okay.
That it started tearing my mouth. That sometimes I would start having big wounds inside my mouth. And then...
What did God do?
He saved me. After money has been wasted in it, because I went to a Memphis hospital and they said it was that something about my brain trying to shut down.
Your brain trying to shut down?
Yes. Something.
This doctor sometimes is like demons used to inspire them. How can you tell somebody your brain is trying to shut down? I used to have big injuries in your mouth. So what happened?
Now I can believe that today I can still stand on my own because it's no longer affecting me on the normal way.
Everything is gone. Hear what Jesus just told him this evening. He said, You are healed, brother. And he can use his mouth. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Let's take this last one. We must take your own. Come this way. The mic, the speaker is interrupting us. Quick. Let's hear your testimony. What did God do for you, brother?
First of all, I'd like to thank God for my life.
We're all thanking God with you. What did God do now?
My mother, I would like to thank God for my family as well, but most especially...
For your family. What did Jesus do now?
Most especially, my mom has been having this hand pain. Yes. But before I came here, she gave me a phone call and said everything is over.
Can you imagine?
What happened?
Okay, for some weeks now, I've been having pain because of stress. I know it was as a result of stress, but when I wake up in the morning and I go about my normal activities, everything will be fine. But it was not leading to sickness. But when I wake up, I consider my normal activities, it will be fine. I'll go back to sleep, I'll feel the pain. Last week, entering this week, became worse. But it was just normal then. I came to church this evening, still feeling pains all over my back, my shoulder. But while worshiping and praying, and as we were praying, I just felt this body just lifted. And right now, I feel no pain anymore.
Ole, Igwe, Ole,
Igwe,
Chineke mo,
Igwe,
Ole mamara,
Igwe,
Okaka,
Igwe,
Ole mamara,
Igwe,
Ole,
Igwe,
Ole,
Igwe,
Ole jekama,
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 Ole, 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 ole.
Listen. The healing anointing is about to rest on somebody's hand. Don't try to make it happen. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Let's have it calm now. Jesus wants to equip people now so that many healers will be living on this campus. It will not be testimonies you have after programs. Just whisper to the Lord that I'm ready. I will answer the distress call. Even if they have to call me by night, I'll be there. I will be available. Jesus looks for available vessels. Tell him now. Tell him now. Tell him now. Soles of their feet. Ushers, you just help them, but let's keep it calm. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Holy Ghost, breathe on them now. Anoint them, anoint them, anoint them. Men walking with the healing power, fighting and shutting down installations of darkness. Ending the plague and the reign of Satan in the borders of their habitation. Men that will stand as witnesses. Anoint now. Let the oil of healing rest on their hands tangibly. The oil. The oil. The healing mantle. The healing anointing. The faith for healing. The spirit of healing. Receive now. Receive now. You are Jesus Christ. Elion of Israel. For the healing power, we are the ones who have marked. I love Aras, Talababas, Talabaras, Brenda Dalahas. Touch, touch. We are the people who have marked. Touch, touch. Lebras, Talabaranda, Sadis.
Where
are the healers?
God,
the ones who have marked to be used as
vessels. Elohim Israel. Christ, Elohim Israel.
Consciously exercise your faith every day. You hear somebody sick, don't look for the pastor. Pray for the person. Begin to exercise your faith every day. There's a lady sitting down on black. Go and lay your hands on her. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Those who are under the anointing, just allow God to work with them. Let's do some quick administrative issues. I was told that